songs and stuff.
Yeah.
All right, welcome to another episode of the Youth Nation podcast. We are so excited. We're in Dallas, Texas right now on this absolutely gloomy day. But the vibes are not going to be gloomy. We have the one and only Janine Amapola with us.
Yeah.
Did I get that name correct?
You did. You nailed it.
Yes. Let's go.
Thank you guys for having me and welcome to gloomy, rainy Dallas. Man. I'm sorry you got bad weather here.
No, that's good. That's good. We're so excited to have you. We did a podcast, like our second podcast ever was with Maddie.
Mm-hmm.
And it was with, I'm almost positive you were with her. It was at Rally.
Oh, Rally.
Yes, with Charlie.
Yeah.
And I think you were with her.
Mm-hmm. I was.
But this one like all came about because somebody had commented on that podcast and was like, yo, you should get Janine on. And then we were like, yo, bet. So here we are.
I love it.
And we're so excited.
Thank you for having my back.
Oh, of course. We're so excited to be here and to get to know you. And first of all, you guys just did a podcast with Girls Gone Bible, which is so crazy because like 2 weeks ago, we were in LA filming with them too.
Oh, y'all did too?
Yes.
Did too. They're amazing. Best.
Shout out Angie and Ari.
Godly, beautiful women of God. Like it was so, we all clicked. It was like Maddie, Ari, Angela, and I, we all like got dinner before and we just like riffed it. Like it just, I mean, rip. What's the word?
Riffed?
Rift? Is that the word?
Maybe.
Like we just like vibed. Like it just clicked and it was so fun. So the podcast is up if anyone wants to listen to it.
Yo, podcast is out now. I'm not sure when this one's dropping, but go watch that one.
Yes.
That's so good. I think I don't know when ours is airing. Maybe next month.
You know.
That's so good, though. We're so stoked to have you. First of all, I just want to know, like, where are you from originally? How'd you get to Dallas? All that fun stuff.
Well, my parents birthed me here, so
I was forced to be here.
Born and raised Dallas. I actually grew up, like, probably 10 minutes away from here.
Oh, wow.
My parents still live in the same house that I was raised in, and so my parents aren't from here, so it's kind of, like, a weird, like, I don't know why they chose Dallas, because, like, it sounds bad to say. I don't know if I would have chosen Dallas because I was just telling your team, there's not much to do here. Like if you like nature, this is not the place to be. Like if you like to shop and eat, this is definitely the spot for you.
Definitely.
Born and raised Dallas. I went to the University of Texas. So I moved to Austin for a good bit.
Hook 'em horn.
Hook 'em. Thank you. Yes. Let's go.
Yes.
Went to Austin. And then after that, I knew I wanted to kind of pursue this, you know, career a little bit more. I was doing social media already in college. My YouTube channel like took off in college. Thanks. And so I was deciding between New York or LA, and I really felt like the Lord told me, like, go to LA. And I was really scared because, I mean, we've all heard, like,
it's
a place, if you are prone to compromise, don't go to LA. And I went there and I compromised. But the Lord met me there in a really real way. So I lived there for a good bit. And then it was funny, I met Maddie, my best friend Madison Pruitt. We met each other there, and based off meeting each other there, she was gonna move to LA. I was like, diehard, like, you are moving to LA with me. And she was on board with it. She had just gone off the show. And she comes to LA to visit and she's like, I don't think this is it for me. And I'm like, what? Like, there's palm trees, there's the beach, there's Beverly Hills. Like, why would you not want to move here? And the Lord very clearly was like, no, you're not moving to California. And I was mad because I thought we were going to live together. And somehow, by the grace of God, the Lord convinced me to move back to Dallas. And I am so, so glad. Because I ended up meeting my now fiance here. He's in the corner. What's up, baby?
Shout out.
Oh, yeah.
Caleb,
shout out to Caleb.
Let's go.
Ward.
And yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Mr. Ward.
I felt the Lord tell me, like, you are going to meet your husband in Texas. And I was like, oh, we're moving on. Let's go back to Texas. Let's go.
Let's go.
Because California, it's rough out there. And so I moved back and I've been here for 2.5 years and very, very thankful I moved back because the Lord has just moved in such mighty ways since being back here. And it's home. And I still love it, but I'm also open to have a new adventure.
Yeah. Caleb, open to new adventures. So just so you know.
We're both open to new adventures.
Come,
we talked about that.
Come
we
through
got,
Charlotte.
We got good pickleball courts.
Yeah. Great
they
pickleball.
They know.
Oh, yeah.
Bro, we'll put in the word, man. Bobby, I don't know what law school that is. Yeah. But
he said get him into the law school in North Carolina. So we'll see.
Oh, hey, yeah.
We got a mission. We got to get Caleb into a law school.
Anybody watching from Duke law school.
Hook it up.
If you don't get him, you fumbled the bag.
Yeah, you fumbled the bag.
But we need to circle back on this pickleball thing because both of you got really excited when I said that.
We love it. It's like, okay, like I said, there's not much to do in Dallas. Right. So pickleball has become this like massive thing that's exploded. I mean, you would not believe the amount of text messages, more that he gets. Like he probably gets like six people texting him a week or would you say a day? Being like, pickleball tonight.
No
and
way.
It's like a thing. He's gotten really good. He's taught me a lot. I'm not there yet, but he's in like leagues and everything. It's so fun. Have y'all played?
Oh my gosh. We're obsessed. Me and Nate.
I brought my paddle for this trip.
If it weren't raining, I would say let's go play.
No, honestly. Yeah. We have wanted to get some runs out here and it's just been.
Maybe tomorrow. I don't know when y'all leave, but.
Yeah, we need to make that happen. I got to play this guy, man. No.
Wait, whoa. The accusations. You lost your paddle. No,
I feel like we need to hear it.
No. We need to hear it, but don't go to therapy over it.
I really do think you lost that paddle. Okay, no, we got the Target.
Oh, you barely got out of Target
lot.
With it?
Baby, this was really you, I think.
You hadn't even
so
used
sorry.
It yet?
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, do you want to tell it?
Yeah, maybe hop on here so you can actually hear.
Yeah, you come here for a second because I'm like, this was not my doing.
Just sit next to each other.
This is not my podcast. Look at this. So I'll leave
welcome,
it.
Caleb Ward.
Caleb is on set.
Caleb's on set.
So, you know, Jesus drank wine, so we bought a bottle of wine to commemorate that.
It was a gift for somebody.
It was a celebration.
And as I was setting it in the back seat, I spilt, or I...
You broke the bottle.
I broke the bottle.
Right.
God, he's so strong.
I dropped it.
These muscles, you know?
Yeah.
I dropped it. Somehow, it just exploded all over the back seat.
Yeah.
And as I was going to go back inside to clean it up, she moved my paddle.
Wait a minute. I don't think it was me personally.
Out of the back seat so it wouldn't get wine on it.
Right.
And I went to grab my paddle the next day because we're in the playoffs.
Right.
My paddle's not there.
Ooh.
And I just knew. I was like, you definitely took it out
and left it
in the parking lot.
Oh, yeah, like moved it to the ground.
I don't recollect that.
Maybe
all.
Even top of the car, you know?
Oh, and
top
it flew
of the
off.
Car, it flew off.
Ooh, that's the worst.
We lost the match. I had to play with her paddle.
No. Ooh.
And a 7-year-old lady beat us. I'm not joking.
You guys
so
got
basically, what you're saying is, I'm not going to go there.
The moral of the story is. Don't drink wine.
Jesus didn't buy wine. He just drank it.
And he made it, so it doesn't
really
count.
I really plead the fifth on that one. I really don't think that was me, but that is the story that happened.
Yeah,
we could put
you
up
guys
a
can
poll.
Work it out on the car ride.
Yeah, we'll fight about it later.
Oh my gosh, that's so
all right,
good.
So we want to circle back to your career in social media. You said in college you started your YouTube. So bring us back to college you. How did you start? Why did you start? What was kind of the heart behind it? And then just it's turned into what it is now. And so we just would love to hear the journey of that.
And when was that?
So I'm 29, so I'm old. That was when I was in college, 2015 or 2014 is when it blew up.
Okay.
So I actually started when I was 16 years old and it was just like pure joke. Like I was making like videos about my braces and Sims videos. Did you guys remember the Sims?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. I'm with the right people. because every time I'm like, I mention the Sims, everyone's like, what's that? Like, I'm very old. So I started making like just random videos and then a couple of them like kind of took off. But at the time, taking off was like 80,000 views.
Right.
And YouTube wasn't really a thing. You weren't making money on it or anything like that. And so, I just kept making videos because I started gaining traction. People were resonating with them. They liked them. I was sharing like cheerleading videos, day in my lives, get ready with me, like kind of what we're doing now. And in college, I was like this close to quitting. I was like, I don't think this is for me anymore. I wanted to just be like a regular college student. And it was also when it wasn't like a cool thing to do.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like everyone thought you were such a loser if you did it. So I would like hide and I would like edit the videos at night. And so I would call myself like college student by day, YouTuber by night. I was like the Hannah Montana of my campus, basically.
Yeah, basically.
And so my channel started like gaining a lot of traction. And she's like a bigger YouTuber now. I remember texting her like, I think I'm gonna quit. I don't think this is for me anymore. And she was like, no, I really think you should continue. I really think there's something in this. So like, why don't you come out to LA? We'll make a collab together and I'll help you. Which shout out to Ava Gutowski for doing that. It was really nice of her. So I go out to LA and we make this video. It was really dumb. Like, it's still one of my most viewed videos. It's like child you versus teen you. You can look it up later. It's really, really cringy. Yeah, but the video blew up to like 30 million views.
Oh, wow.
And so my channel started exploding. And so I started doing more collabs. And I was like, it gave me like a fire underneath my butt where I was like, okay, I want to do this. I'm like, I'm committed.
Yeah.
So I started making more videos. They started gaining more traction. My channel started growing. And by my junior year of college, I had hit 1 million subscribers.
Oh my God.
At that time I was like, okay, whoa, like this is like really becoming a thing. And then all of a sudden brands were reaching out and magazines and commercials and CMT. And I started signing with an agency and it was like my whole life was just like flipped upside down at a young age. But I think the problem with that was that I wasn't really able to steward that well at that time. Yeah. And so I became very like greedy with money and I was like very about myself and I didn't really know how to handle that quite yet. And my faith wasn't fully, you know, probably that great at that time.
Right.
So it blew up and I was like, okay, you know, I'm not quitting. I'm doing this. And so basically all of the rest of college, I was finishing up college and then doing my YouTube stuff. And then eventually when I moved to California, that's when like the podcast became a thing. I started posting more about my faith online and that led to speaking engagements. I have a book coming out in March, which I haven't announced, but I will hear.
Wow.
I know. So exclusive access.
Exclusive here on the Youth Nation podcast. Book coming in March.
I mean, I haven't like officially announced it. I don't know.
It could be in March.
It could be. We can figure that out.
Yeah.
So, you know, with my faith journey, then like all these things started happening. And I mean, I never like signed up. Like I never was like, oh, I want to be famous or I want to be this like Christian influencer. It really, truly was the Lord changing my life and changing my story. And there was many times like I just thought like I don't think I can do this. I can't handle the pressure, especially during 2020, as we all know.
Oh yeah.
That got really rough. And I just was like, God, is this really where you want me to be? And honestly, God just kept speaking to me and being like, nope, I'm not done with you. Like if you don't speak, like who will? Wow. And not that it's only about me. Like I'm not the only voice in this industry now, thank the Lord. But at the time, there weren't really many Christian influencers. Yeah. And so I really migrated from doing like faith fashion, and I still do those things, but to like really doing Bible studies. And I was doing Zoom Bible studies for girls every Wednesday during the pandemic. I started this thing called the Abide Tribe, where I would like help girls find community in their cities. Mm-hmm. And they found other women to read the Bible with them. And I do Bible challenges now online and just different avenues. But it really started from like a pure joke of being embarrassed of Bryce's videos to like kind of where I am now. Yeah. And so I'm glad the Lord walked me through that. Cause like, I think if it weren't for God, I probably wouldn't be able to sustain this.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, hearing journeys behind everything gives so much context, bro. Like I think especially in a culture where everything happens so fast and everyone, it's very possible to like blow up really fast. But like, even like to encourage young people, like if something is built overnight, it'll probably not have the foundation and not, like it can fall overnight too. And like, that's super dope to hear that it was like, it's actually started off as a joke, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and yeah, it's just social media is so curated and like all that is so, so tough to like manage as a young person. I would imagine, especially for like the age group that's going to be watching this and knowing that like, you just got to be genuine, bro. Like even if it's goofy at first, like people think it's stupid, like you have no idea what it could like turn into.
And I love that you were talking about like maybe when this was all happening, you were blowing up. Like you mentioned the word like maybe you weren't stewarding it well. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like from your testimony, you started following God maybe somewhere in the midst of all that more closely. And I think that's so cool because God is such a redeemer. Yeah. And like maybe the way that you got all this success wasn't when your faith was in the best place, but like looking back in hindsight now, it like set you up to have a voice to then like do all these incredible things for women and for young people. So I think that's really cool and like really encouraging for people out there. Like maybe you started something and it wasn't in the best space of your life or whatever, but God is like such a redeemer. And I think that's like super encouraging for
sure. Yeah, I think the reason also why it's worked and why I've always loved it was because I did always come from the goal of like, how can I help somebody? Mm-hmm. So even back in the day, it was still like how-to tutorials. And I think the reason why my followers know me so well is because I've always shared my life. They have seen me go through every heartbreak, every situation, moving. I mean, like, there's a lot of things in my story that they got to watch me go through. And I think if you're just trying to bank on virality or success or numbers, mm-hmm. like, it isn't sustaining and it's not good for your mental health either. I think if you come from a place of how can I give back or bless people or share the gospel or find ways to create content that's actually genuinely serving somebody, it's way more fulfilling. It's way more serving. And it actually, like, people want to be around for that because they're like, okay, I'm getting something out of this. I'm not just watching you fly on a private jet everywhere. You know what I mean? Like that's kind of short lived, you know?
Right.
Yeah, that's great.
That's really good. So now fast forward, you got the Happy and Healthy podcast. You're making a ton of other incredible social content. How did the idea behind the Happy and Healthy podcast come about?
Good question. Ever since I was young, I always like joked with my family that I wanted my own talk show. Like I always wanted to be on like The View or The Real Real or whatever that's called. Cause I've always loved like this format. And I think that's actually why I would struggle a lot with certain platforms is because I wanted like a long form way to just to share my thoughts. Cause in my vlogs, I would just be like rambling and I'd have to cut out 20 minutes of it. I'm like, oh, I can't do this in a vlog. Like people's attention spans are so short.
Right.
And I always knew I wanted to start it. And so I think around like 2019, 2018 is when podcasts kind of started becoming a thing. And I was like, you know what? I'm sitting at home bored during the pandemic. This is finally the time to start it. And I had known I wanted to, I just kept making excuses and I kept being like, I don't have the equipment. I don't have a studio. I don't have a team. I feel like we can always find excuses why we shouldn't start or why we shouldn't begin a dream or something that God's placed in our heart. Finally, I put all the excuses to the side and I was like, no more. I'm going to do this. I bought this cheap, dumpy microphone, used my MacBook Pro, and I just sat there and created the podcast. And I went through like multiple different names and ultimately I decided Happy and Healthy because I'm like, who doesn't want to be happy and healthy? Like everybody,
for sure.
Whether you're a non-believer, or you're a believer, you're going to go and you're going to say, how do I become happy and healthy? Mm-hmm. And that really was the goal of my podcast is providing people that come on to help you, whether that is within your mentality or your physicality. It really is to help people better themselves physically, spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. So I bring on counselors. I bring on nutritionists. I share my story. I bring on pastors, authors, leaders. And then I do solo episodes a ton where I share about things that have worked in my life because I mean, I'm 29 now and I've been through a lot of things where I'm like, okay, that clearly did not work. So let me show my audience how that didn't work, why that didn't work. And then how do you get to where this does work? Whether that is in your fitness goals, your habits, your daily disciplines, your faith, reading the Bible. So it really started again as just super small. And it was pretty like crusty dusty when I started. Like I made my first cover art was horrible. I took like an old photo of me on the beach and I just used Photoshop. It looks so rinky dinky. Like it was bad.
I gotta see this.
I know, I'll show you guys because it was not cute. Until eventually I was like, okay, I have a little bit more funds now. I can get a studio.
Right.
But I don't know. I feel like it just goes to show you like if you have a dream and you feel like it's from the Lord, pray about it, but just start it. Like there's no better time to start than now. And again, if your platform is to help people, always let that be the driving force. It ultimately can and it will. And so it is my passion project. It is my favorite thing I do. I love it. And it's so funny. Like now when I meet people, they don't say like, oh, I love your YouTube channel. They don't really care about that anymore. They say now, I love your podcast. And I'm like, okay, good, because I love it too. And now my fiance comes on it a lot as well, which is really fun.
Yeah, so that's amazing. I feel like the number one question we get from people just asking like, hey, I want to start, you know, XYZ, typically asking about a podcast. It's always like, what do I do? How do I start it? Mm-hmm. And I think that's beautiful how you said like, there's no better time to start it than today. Like, God can use very small things to eventually, of course, like shine his glory through it. And so I love that because so many people get so hung up on just like, I don't know where to start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's just like, start with what you have. You know what I'm saying?
And I think a lot of people, they want to start, but they don't know their why of why they're going to start.
Mm-hmm. That's huge.
I think a lot of people are just like, I just want to start a podcast because it's like super fun and everyone's doing it.
Yep.
But if you don't have a why, you're going to lose your way. That's that classic saying.
Yeah.
But it's true because this is a lot of work. Like you guys see, it's not just, it can be in the beginning sitting down, But it's kind of like, what's your message? What's your why? Who is this for? Why do you want to do this? Because eventually you'll hit that burnout phase, or that it's where it's unsustainable. You've got to know your why. And that should be your driving force for everything. It's like your mission statement. And otherwise you're going to be creating things and you're going to be like, what do I make this week? Why am I doing this? And so it's super important to let the Lord lead it and also know your why behind it.
Yeah, that's massive. I love that so much. So obviously you've had a ton of incredible people on your podcast. Mm-hmm. If you could say who's been one of your favorites to have on.
There's a right or wrong answer. Yeah. Right.
Obviously my favorite.
Or some fun ones. Some fun ones.
Some fun ones. Okay, Bob Goff. He is so unexpectedly like hilarious. Like, cause he's like older and he's not like a big social media guy. Mm-hmm. He was the funniest dude. Like we were just like vibing on the podcast. Yeah. I'm dying laughing. I'm like, Bob, like you suck.
Okay, Bob.
You know? He's funny. I would say him, Craig Rochelle, nicest human being. Like so nice, so intentional, and just an excellent communicator. I'm sure. Have you guys had him on?
We haven't.
Okay, you got to get him on. Yeah. Excellent communicator and just very wise.
Yeah.
And then obviously my best friend Maddie. It's always so fun having her on because we're best friends. So we just vibe. It feels like there's two best friends. You're just watching them chat.
Right.
And we've lived through a lot of things together. So it's fun to have someone that you know come on.
Yeah.
Because you just like vibe really, really well. For sure. I could probably go on, but I would say those are like my top three.
Top three.
Yeah.
That's so fun. And who's somebody who you haven't had on yet that would be like a dream guest?
I actually thought about this the other day. Jackie Hill Perry.
Oh,
queen.
I'm absolute so inspired by her. I'm like a little sponge to her messages. I absorb everything. I'm like, yes, Jackie, you go, girl. I'm like reposting her videos all the time. And I love her theology. And I think she's been to seminary. And I always love hearing what people that have actually like been to seminary have to say. Because they always have so much wisdom. And I would love to maybe go to seminary one day. So she's like so bold. Very truthful, bold. Like she says it like it is. And I really admire that.
Dang.
That's hard in today's age, you know?
Absolute queen. I love it. Okay. So we were kind of chatting over there, but I was like, I need to wait for the podcast because you're engaged.
I am.
Let's go.
Congrats.
Congratulations. Yeah. When do you guys get married?
We get married in 3 weeks, less than 3 weeks. On November 12th. So I'm about to be a whole wifey.
She's about to be a wifey. Okay, so we need to know, how did you guys meet? Like, who made the first move? Ooh. We need to hear all the things.
Caleb,
let's bring him on back over here.
I can't tell this by myself.
Caleb, enter the shot.
Yes.
I'm like, how long do you want this podcast to be?
This took me 2 years. This was a long...
What?
Make sure you're close up to the mic.
Long process. So I took her friend out to lunch. Can you hear? Am I close enough?
Yeah, probably good.
I took her friend out to lunch and she was a vegan. So it didn't work out. I took her to like a steak.
Oh, so you took her like on like a date?
Like a lunch.
Okay.
It was a lunch.
Oh, okay. You took my friend on a date.
Yeah. I was confused. I was like, we need clarification here. We need to know.
And a year and a half later, I was in Dallas and she posted a photo of Janine. And I was like, oh, that girl is beautiful. And so I looked at her Instagram and I was like, I have zero shot here. And I still followed her and she ended up moving to Dallas like a month later. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And I took her friend on a date. You know, we're still like friends.
Right.
And so I was like, hey, I was like, your friend Janine is, you know, in Dallas. And she was like, oh, she has a boyfriend, but you guys would be great friends. And I was like, great friends.
I'm good.
The boyfriend moment.
And I saw her, no lie, like 5 or 6 times randomly in public. One time I was on a run around the lake and she like ran past me.
No way.
And
skateboarded past me.
That's fire.
Super random.
Yeah. Yeah, it was
skater girl.
California did something to me. I walked by. I was like,
she was talking mess on the phone too. She was talking something.
Oh, she's okay.
It sounded like she had relationship problems. So I was maybe.
I mean, I did. That's why we
posted. I see my window.
Yeah. And then July 4th hit 2022. I'm walking into our friend's party, and she was like the first girl I saw.
Oh, and I was single at this point, just so you guys know. Yeah.
Recently broken up with.
Yeah, broken up with like a month and a half prior.
You can tell it from your side from there.
Okay, so yeah, I walk into this 4th of July party. I was a mess earlier that day. I was crying because I was like, I'm going to be single forever. And I walk in and I see him and he has his backwards hat and his jersey. And I was like, who is that?
Dang.
And I hit my friend and I was like, who is that? And she's like, that's Caleb. Don't even try. And I was like, I'm going to try.
Well, not wait, try. What does she mean by that? What does she mean by that?
What does that mean? Don't even try.
Okay, so she said don't try because he's younger than me. He was moving to Orlando in 3 weeks. And she said, what else is she? Oh, she said, all the girls want him. Like, don't even try. And dang. I was like, okay, God. Put something here, make something happen.
And little does she know that she was a joke in my friend group because I was like, I would talk about her all the time.
Right.
And all my friends were like, you got to go talk to her. This is like, because they wanted me to stay in Dallas because I was about to move.
Right.
And they're like, this is your chance. If you can date her, you know, you'll get to stay here in Dallas. And I'm like, right. Guys, you guys are ridiculous. First of all, I was embarrassed I was wearing a jersey.
That's
I was like, dang, this is not, you know, a
not
great
how you
show.
Wanted her to not, see you.
No. And she followed me on Instagram that night.
No
and followed
way.
Back.
Followed
yeah, because
back.
He was already yeah. following.
And then I went to the DMs and I just started scrolling. He'd been DMing me for a year and a half. Hey, what church do you go to? Hey,
no.
I was like, wow.
You've been messaging her for a year
and a half.
You'd responded and you actually commented on one of my stories.
I don't remember this, but I did apparently.
Yes. She's and, pleading the fifth a lot.
Yeah.
She likes to play the card of like, he pursued me.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you did. You did pursue. No, he asked me, like, which church should I go to? And I recommended a church.
Yeah.
And then he was like, oh, like, where do you serve? Like, very, like, Christian Christian
oh,
boy.
Yeah.
And then that's when I didn't respond. I was like, no, yeah, do better.
Exactly.
That's so funny.
Yeah. So she follows me on Instagram. And then literally a week later, she goes, in my neighborhood, we have a neighborhood pool. And she went to it. She admits that she was trying to bump into me again.
Yeah. I mean, I was praying and hoping, but I didn't expect it to happen. But
right.
I mean, it was a local pool. It was 5 minutes from my house.
Yeah.
I was like, maybe he'll be here.
Right.
And the stars did align, and he was.
I walked by her and waved at her while she was driving out of the pool. And so I DM'd her for like the 30th time. Mm-hmm. I like this is every guy can speak to this.
Oh,
once
yeah.
you DM a certain amount of times, you throw your phone because you're like, I'm a crazy guy.
Right.
This is
you
ridiculous.
Hit your limit.
Oh, yeah.
And she actually responded and was like, don't be so shy next time, mm-hmm. is what she
dang.
Said.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. And Maddie actually helped me. I was like, Maddie, what do I say? She's like, say, don't be so shy next time and say, hey. And yeah. it was perfect because it worked.
Oh, my God.
I said, I'm moving in 2 weeks to Orlando, but I want to take you on a date. And then we're engaged 11 months later.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my
yep.
God.
Glory to God.
Yeah. What a journey.
So men, yeah. shoot your shot.
I know. I was yeah. about to say, I got some more DMs to send yeah. after this.
Bro starts firing
I'm
off.
Only at 25. I still got five more.
Yeah. Thank you, fiance.
Oh, my God.
That's incredible.
Caleb
well, congrats,
in.
Guys. And okay,
way to
so,
go, Caleb.
Yeah.
So 3 weeks have we, like, what's the planning been like? Has that just been amazing and everything that you hoped it would be? Or?
Well, now it's really stressful. The first like couple months, it was so fun. Like I was like in my fiance era. I was so excited. Yeah. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm a bride, and was loving the content. And then, you know, eventually you got to start actually paying those invoices. You got to start actually sending out the invites and planning the deets. And I was like, oh wow, this is a lot of planning on top of like everything else that we have going on. And so, of course, I'm super blessed. I'm very thankful. It's been really easy with him. He's been super helpful. And we have an amazing wedding planner. But, I mean, I think anyone would be lying if they said it's fun. I mean, you were married. You probably went, or you're married now. You went through the same process. It's a lot. And we actually, tonight, we have to figure out our seating chart, which everyone told me that's the worst part of it. And we have 200 people coming. So we're going to be there. We're going to be doing that for a lot. Like,
good luck, my boy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, he had pickleball
tonight.
No pickleball tonight,
brother.
No pickleball tonight.
Yeah, no pickleball.
You touched on something, right? And it's actually really funny because I feel like sometimes, especially in the world that we live in, we can like over-spiritualize what it is like to date somebody. Now, of course, there is that precedent, but that's exactly what it is. It's like you shouldn't give your time to anyone like that isn't in love with the Lord more than you, like stuff like that. That's stuff that we know. But you like, it was like a little jab and it was like, yeah, he was speaking Christianese. I was like, do better.
Yeah.
Like, what is that like? It's like, that's obviously a quality you had, right? For someone that you liked. It's like, what were those things that you were looking at? It was like, oh, I want this. I don't want this. Like, this is a green flag. This is a red flag to me as you were single, but still like open to relationships.
That's so good. I do think that someone's social media does tell a lot about them. It shows like their priorities and their heart. And I mean, I did obviously stalk his Instagram and his TikTok. And I was like, okay, he's really into finance and into Bitcoin. That wasn't a red flag to me though. Dogecoin. But I think I was also looking, I mean, it sounds kind of cliche, but like, I want to see at least somewhere on your profile that you've mentioned Jesus, that I'm seeing you have friends. I'm seeing how much are you posting alcohol? What are you posting about? Who are you following? I didn't do like all my due diligence on like that first initial stalk, but eventually I prayed about it and I was like, okay, Maddie, should I go on this date? She said, yes. And of course I'm like, I'm waiting to see how much are you talking about the Lord? And I think for anybody, you really do want to see what are they bringing up before you even ask? Mm-hmm. What are they mentioning That's before huge. You even bring that up? So, I mean, I already knew right off the bat, he had mentioned his family. He had mentioned faith. He had mentioned church. He had mentioned just future dreams. And the way that he communicated to me, it was very clear. And so I think you just want to see what comes out of their mouth before you have any, before any questions, before you ask anything, because that is going to be showing what's inside their heart. You know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Yep. And so I was just kind of curious as I sat back, I was like, what are his priorities? I got to see friendship. How much is he, what are his friends like? Where does he go to church? Is he serving? What type of music does he listen to? It was interesting. Even being in the car, I'm like, okay, let's see what he plays when I get in the car. Yeah. And it was funny. He had asked me like, oh, what are some of your favorite artists? And so he played that in the car. But turns out we had similar music that we loved. Elevation Worship was massive in both of our testimonies, actually very big in mine. Wow. Country music, it's like certain things like that. But I don't know. I think also the way they treat you on the first date is very telling. You know, he offered to pay for everything, opened up the car door, was very respectful, didn't force himself on me, didn't ask like, oh, can I kiss you tonight? Like nothing like that. Like I would have said no. He asked to hold my hand, which was cute. No shade, no tea. But, you know, I wasn't ready for that. And so I think that's just like specifically pertaining to him. But I do think in general, you know, you do want to look at the kind of the classic like time, talents, treasures, like how do they use their money? How do they use their time? How do they use like the gifts that God has given them? Are they using social media to only glorify themselves and to lure people in? Are they using their body to lure people in? Are they posting the shirtless selfies, which would be an automatic ick for me personally? And I think also just, looking at what they speak about, like what they bring up. Do they bring up the Lord? Do they bring up their friends? Do they bring up their family? All things that are kind of telling to something, I think, bigger.
Yeah.
That's everything that so much of what you said can classify literally under what the Bible calls fruit of the Spirit. It's like even the fact that he demonstrated like self-control on the first date to be aware and be like, yo, can I hold your hand? Like kindness, meekness, like that is huge. And even what your point was about, what are they speaking about before you ask? Like, and all that is followed up by fruit. Because I think that anyone can sound right, especially people that have come up in church. Anyone can speak the lingo, it's all there, especially with social media. You can have access to great speakers and great worship leaders that have great things to say. But if there isn't fruit around you, then it's like a resounding cymbal because nothing that you're doing or saying has been done in love.
Yeah,
that is such a good point. And you're absolutely right. I think on the first date, anybody could be anybody. They can. He could have looked at my page and been like, I know exactly the guy she wants. Mm-hmm. I've mentioned it on my stuff before. Like, okay, this is the type of guy I'm looking for. He could have done that and could have been like, okay, let me fit into this box. But if you just give it time, like eventually people's colors are going to be shown.
Yeah.
And I saw the fruit of the Spirit in him. I saw humbleness. I saw meekness. I saw gentleness. I saw self-control, patience, love, all those things that I was like, wow, this is like an actual godly man or man. Because, you know, again, a lot of people can claim a lot of things and not saying that anyone's perfect. I'm not perfect. I definitely have a lot of things that probably he saw that was like, oh, that's a red flag. But eventually, you know, you want to see, can they work on those fruits of the Spirit? Are they submitted to Christ? And I think I saw that in him where I was like, okay, yeah, this is a man that is surrendered to the Lord. A lot of guys, like you said, they can have the Christianese, they can go to church, they can check off all the boxes. They could be serving, they could be posting online, but their heart is far from the Lord. They're not actually serving the Lord. They're not on their knees praying to God, reading the word. They're not really surrendered to him. And you'll see that. Eventually, you will see that. You can only play the game for so long. I can only play the game for so long. And so it's deciding, okay, is this fruit or lack of fruit something I'm willing to commit to? Because, you know, everyone has different qualities that are positive and negative. And his were nothing that that was super alarming to me. Of course, we have different things we want to work on together, but nothing that was like, okay, yeah, no, this is a red flag. And the Lord always showed me every single time, look at his fruit, look at his spirit, look at the way he leads you, look at his heart. And if you look at 1 Samuel 16, like, God looks at the heart. We look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And I saw his heart and I was like, this is a man after God's own heart. He's like a David in the Bible. a lot of people told me, actually, they're like, I see him as a David in the Bible, and it has been so true.
Yeah.
Just not looking at Bathsheba. Yeah. Yeah. Not that part. That's his favorite joke.
Right.
No roof watching. I love it. Yeah.
Pastor Rich Wilkerson said something when I first met him, like when the first sermon I ever heard from him before we were like cool, shout out P Rich, was actually a sermon that made me break up with my girlfriend, which is crazy. Ooh. But it was about the difference between patterns and potential. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just like cute because it was two P words back to back, I promise y'all.
Yeah.
But it was like what you're describing is like, yeah, you, because so many times as Christians we also pull the card like, no, but I see what they could become. Yeah. Or like I see like where they could go, and it's like out of a place of compassion, right? But he was like, you pick stock based on potential, you pick your partner based off of their patterns of behavior. Yeah. Because anybody can be great in the future, anybody can become something, but who they are, but you're not dating or marrying the person that they're going to become. You're dating and marrying the person they are now.
Yeah.
And then when you dedicate yourself to that, then you say, I'm willing to come along something that's already so beautiful in the eyes of the Lord and in my eyes that I want to support you so that we can both get there.
Yeah.
To whatever that is for our lives. And so that's dope. And I feel like that's really going to bless a lot of young people that are like trying to navigate that balance of like, what should I look for? And when I do find out what I should look for, how do I steward it? Is it something that I'm like, maybe wrong, right person, wrong time? Like, or is it like right person, right time? Stuff like that. That's actually super. I know it's going to be so helpful to so many people that watch.
That you said that. I also think like if you are surrendered to the Lord and you are submitted to him and you're genuinely with your hands open, I think that was the difference between past relationships and him, was that my hands were open. I said, God, if you want this relationship, I will gladly take this relationship. If you do not want it, take it away. And I was very, very surrendered. And I think when you come to God with a surrendered heart and open hands, he'll use that. Yeah. Because he wants someone that is willing to be used and that's open to be used. And I did that with him. And I think the Lord just kept showing me over and over and over, this is your person, this is your person. And so it's a reminder to people that are maybe struggling, like, is this the right person? Is it not? Stay surrendered. Ask God, if this is not the person, then take him away. But a lot of people, they're kind of like one fist closed, one like, God, I don't know. It's like, no, you actually have to be willing to lay that down. And I think God is looking for someone that is surrendered in every aspect of their life.
Yeah, that's so good. And so you guys had your first dates, and then you're getting into like the dating phase. One thing we love to talk about on here is just like boundaries and purity, especially for young people watching. What are kind of some of the, how did you guys go about like setting kind of some boundaries in your relationship? And was it difficult? Was it hard? How did you guys navigate that? Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yes. I mean, honestly, I think your boundaries are only going to be as good as the person you're with. Mm-hmm. So if your boundaries are, you know, X, Y, and Z, and his are W, why, whatever, they're not the same, then you're going to have a problem.
Yeah.
And so it's establishing those boundaries very, very early on of saying, this is my boundary. I mean, we both, thankfully from a very early point, we were like, hey, we're both waiting for marriage. We're both waiting for this. Like, we will not do these. And so we established those boundaries very, very early on. And I think to anyone listening, that would be my encouragement, is find those boundaries out ASAP. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, that's weird. That's uncomfortable. Why would I bring that up? But otherwise, you're going to start getting attached to somebody when you shouldn't be getting attached. If they're like, no, I'm not waiting for marriage. And you're like, but I am. And I see a lot of girls compromise in that way, because typically, you know, we're weaker emotionally, where we're willing to compromise a lot more than a guy is, or a guy makes you compromise. And so I've seen a lot of women compromise because they didn't have this conversation. They thought like, oh, no, surely it'll be fine, or we can figure this out. And we establish this very early on. And it doesn't mean that it's easy, because, you know, God wired us for intimacy. He wired us to become one. He wired us for something that's so beautiful as the word SEX. Like, he has wired us for that, you know? And so it's not that you can't have that desire, but it's how are you going to use that desire? How are you going to steward that desire in singleness and in dating? Because it's difficult. But we both have accountability. That's what has really, really helped us, is that we established the boundaries. We both are on the boundaries. We said, this is what we are willing to do. We're not willing to do. And we said anything past kissing, that nothing. We don't sleep at each other's houses. We don't sleep in the same beds. We don't do anything like that. We don't do sleepovers. nothing past kissing. Like, that was our established boundary. And we have people that ask us consistently, like, Maddie, how's that going? How's that been going for you? How's that been going in engagement? We invite people in all the time for prayer because we just don't want those lines to be blurred. We don't want to have messiness come within intimacy before marriage because it inevitably does. And that was part of my story is I hadn't waited for marriage before. And it was a big regret of mine, but something that I've seen the Lord use. And so I'm able to know on that side of like, okay, this is why God has us wait, because I didn't follow God's plan before. And I saw how complicated, how messy, the heartbreak that came from that, the confusion, staying in a relationship that was so unhealthy for me way longer than I needed to now waiting. And it just clears any, you know, bad judgment or any shame and guilt. Like, God did not want us to be intimate with someone and have to instantly regret it or feel shameful or regretful. It's so beautiful when it's in marriage and it's safe and it's in the confines of marriage. And it's so just like, oh wow, we're one. Like, it's supposed to be this way. And so coming from that side to now waiting, I'm like, oh, this is so much better. Thank you, Jesus. And we're able to have conversations. Like, we're not only using that as a cover up to fix all of our problems. Like, we have to fight this out. Like, we've had tough conversations that were like, no, we got to sit and finish this, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I just think boundaries in all aspects of even certain verbiage of saying, I love you at a certain point, or talking about finances, or talking about marriage too early on. It's not just physicality. I think a lot of people mistake that. It's like rushing things too fast, doing things way too soon. So many boundaries I think that we could talk about besides just physicality.
Oh yeah, for sure.
That's love that you talked about like accountability, because a lot of people, and I think it was Anna was mentioning this, Anna Golden, we had her on the pod. Mm. She was messaging that or talking about how accountability can sometimes be perceived as control, but actually it's safety and it's comfort and it can be so helpful. And I know young people nowadays in like 2023, 2024, like it can be so scary to have accountability because you're like, oh no, they have to know my secrets. They have to know like all the bad stuff that I do. But in your experience, like accountability has only bettered your relationship, only bettered you as an individual. So I'd love you to share even just a little bit more about, like, for all of our audience who it might be their first time stepping into a relationship, they might have gone through a couple, their high school, young adult, like in that space, how important is it to have mentorship, not only over you, but your relationship, and why is it important to bring people in?
Yeah. Oh, that's such a good question. I mean, there really is protection in it because, again, I had done the type of relationship where it was isolated and I didn't have accountability, and that got so messy. And it was like we were living in sin. And once you dig yourself into sin and you dig yourself into these secrets, like, you don't want to tell anybody. And then you start burying yourself with all this shame and guilt. And when I did tell somebody, it felt like the world was ending. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, they're going to hate me and they're going to think I'm the worst human being ever. But every single time when you bring somebody in, all this weight and the shackles are just lifted off of you. And you're like, why didn't I do this sooner? You wish so badly you did it sooner. Yeah. Living in the light is actually freedom. Yeah. And I think a lot of people think like, oh, they're going to judge me, or I don't need to bring you in. I'm my own master. I'm fine. I don't need anybody. I just don't think that we were ever intended to live in isolation. Mm-hmm. We were not. And so it actually brings freedom because people get to speak into the situations. Like, it would be kind of prideful to say that we know all the answers, we know all the solutions, we know everything. There's been so many times where I'm like, I do not know the way out of this. Yeah. And we've brought people in, we've brought in mentors, we brought in friends, pastors, and they speak into it. And suddenly you're like, oh, I'm not crazy. Yeah. Or there is a way out of this, or wow, this isn't as nearly as bad as I thought it would be. Mm-hmm. And it really is just, it's literally the most protecting, blessing thing that you can do to your life. And I would never go back to isolated dating because it also causes you to probably make decisions that you wouldn't normally make because you don't have a sounding board. And the Bible says, what's the Bible verse where there's safety in numbers? You guys can cut this out. What's the Bible verse where,
you can look it up too.
I'll be lost.
Can you help me, babe? No, it's, God, my brain is blanking. It's in Proverbs.
Is it about the cord, the three-stranded cord?
No.
No, it's like essentially like lack of counsel is like...
Yeah, where the lack of counsel plans fail.
Yes.
Where there is a lack of counsel, plans fail.
Yes, bingo, Proverbs.
Yeah. So in Proverbs it says, where there's a lack of counsel, plans fail. And I think this relationship would have failed if I did not bring in wisdom and counsel. Wow. And it's just the way that God intended it for it to be, to link arms with other believers, because there's always going to be someone that can speak to something maybe you can't. They have an experience, or they, like, we went through our relationship with older people that had gone through exactly what we were going through. And if I had not had someone speak into that, or someone say, hey, you're not crazy, we've got your back, how can we pray for you? I would have ran so, so far away. Like, truly, because, like, my toxic patterns and my toxic habits were like, exit, get out of this, run away, because it felt unsafe when it really wasn't. It was just different than what I expected. Mm-hmm. And so I just think it's so much protection that God has for us, like a little pillow and blanket to fall into when you do freak out or when you are struggling in sin.
You guys look like you got, that's such a healthy way to, like, nail dating down and do it well. Mm-hmm. Like, everything you just said is so important to what it looks like to date well. What would you say to someone that's single and that's like, I'm looking for how to be single well, you know? Mm. Like, do it in a way that honors the Lord, but like, I'm still human, you know? What does that look like for you?
I mean, really, I think the message I try to continually preach is to be the person that you were looking for. Because it is unrealistic to expect someone to be X, Y, and Z, and you're not really doing those yourself. And so I don't want to promote like self-glorification, but I am trying to promote like work on yourself, invest on yourself, because singleness, really, this is the time to figure out all the things that you haven't figured out yet. Because when you get into a relationship, let me tell you, it exposes some things in you that were very unhealed or not good. And so how can you figure that out now? How can you get mentors pouring into you, investing into you, serving in the church, listening to podcasts, sermons, books, dating books, like all these things that can better you, so that when you do meet the person, everything's not all of a sudden just like all these band-aids are just ripping off left and right. And they're like, oh, I didn't know that was there. And you're like, neither did I. So I almost think it's like the best time. And I know it's really painful, but go through like a pruning season of like, okay, God, what in me, like that Bible verse, I think it's in Psalm 31:39. Mm-hmm. Search my heart, Lord, and see if there's anything offensive in me. Ask the Lord, search my heart and show me. And then ask other people, search my heart. Is there anything in me that you think I need to revise or fix, or I need to go to the Lord into? Because I had so many mentors and counselors that were like, yeah, you need to look at that a little more. Because I was like, no, I'm good, I'm fine. And they were like, yeah, no, you need to work on that. And I'm really, really glad, because by the time it came to Caleb, I was in a lot better spot. It doesn't mean I didn't still work through things. So I really say, like, use your singleness as an investment opportunity. It's investing into you and investing back into the kingdom. And I think anybody, like, if you were to meet somebody, you wouldn't want to meet them and you're like, so who have you been the last 2 years? And they're like, just waiting around to get married. Yeah. And you're like, that's it? And they're like, yeah, just trying to get married. And you're like, okay. So I would want someone to be like, dang, like, she's on fire for Jesus. She's serving people. She's helping young women. She is in love with the Lord. She knows her Bible. She knows herself. She's confident. Like, this is the time to work on that now.
Yeah.
Mm. Beautiful.
Amen.
Like, period.
Boom. Amen.
That's just so good what you were saying of all of that, of like relationships, like when it's the right person and God is in the relationship, it can be so exposing in the correct way. Mm-hmm. But if you aren't actively working on yourself and you're actively trying to grow outside of that relationship, you can't wait just for the relationship to do the exposing. You need to let God in those spaces, in your singleness, in your quiet time, by yourself, letting him in and just absolutely transforming your heart and speaking to the places, the wounds, the healing that needs to be worked on. So I love that you shared about that and are just so open. And obviously now, like, the fruit of it is that you're able to step into a relationship, not perfect, but probably a lot more healed than you were a couple years ago and a lot more full and whole. And I also think that social media does a disservice to the world, because in that way it can be like, okay, well, I need to be perfect on social media. But how do I be perfect on social media and then be like healing or growing or working on myself over here? And so obviously with the career that you have, it's social media is a big highlight. It's a big part of it, is kind of the central focus. And so can you walk us kind of through just what social media has, how you have been with social media being a presence in your life, speaking to maybe the comparison that you felt or just the pressure that it might have added in those times when you were like, I want to work on myself and I want to grow, but that's not cute. Like, that's not mm-hmm. Instagrammable. That's not what I want to portray in the media. Can you kind of speak to that tension and how you were able to hold the two and how God was able to work in that?
Yeah, that's really good. I think my problem is, like, I think a lot of people try to pretend that they're so perfect online. And my problem actually was that I would air out all my dirty laundry. Like, you would be smelling everything. Until I had some mentors be like, okay, let's like wait to maybe share that. Or like, let's wait till you're a little bit more healed. Mm-hmm. Cause like my thing is I would almost be like too vulnerable where then people would use it against me. Cause they'd be like, okay, I remember when you talked about that. And I was like, shoot, why did I say that? So I think now where I'm at is I'm still just as vulnerable, but I wait a little bit until I've resolved it. Yeah. Cause I think before I would say everything I was feeling, I would go on camera and I would be venting and I'd be crying on camera. And it was so dramatic. And then people literally later would be like, oh, remember when you said that? And I'm like, you still remember that from 5 years ago? And so the internet does not forget. So I now, I always want to maintain that vulnerability. So that's actually why I love my podcast, because people still know, like they know the things that we've been through, the arguments that we've had, the struggles in my story, but I've waited until I was at least healed a little bit more and until I brought community in. And so I never want to portray this super perfect life because it's not perfect. But I will say, I remember struggling so badly in social media all the time because my identity was placed in social media. And I think my number one message I always preach is that identity is literally everything. Everything boils down to identity. And so when I was placing my identity into how was my Instagram performing and who liked me and what my, all these brand deals I was getting, if I didn't get that, my whole mood, my whole day was tanked. And now when I'm like, no, God, you are my provider. I don't need to rely on Instagram followers, comments, whatever's happening to give me security and identity. I know my identity is in the Lord. Mm-hmm. That's when I can go on online from a healed place, a free place, a place of speaking of how God has changed my life. And again, it doesn't mean it's perfect, but I've worked so much on it, and where I deal with my problems offline, I figure them out. I go to God. I journal through them. I chat with my fiance, my friends, whatever. Once I've overcome it, then I can go online. But I never want to lose that part of me that's still sharing the realities, because that's how we bond. We bond in our weaknesses, you know, and I want to kind of continue to do what Paul tells us to do, to boast in our weaknesses so that God can get glory. God can get the strength. God can be the one that's like, I only overcame this through the grace of God, you know? Yeah. And I think before, it was always just based off what I was doing and how I did it and what thing I did that day. And instead now it's like, no, God, like you get the glory, because he really is the only reason why I'm able to do anything in this life with the comments and people still roasting us online. Like that never ends, unfortunately. Yeah. But just knowing like, God, if I can stand before you with a clean hands and pure heart, like that is what I want. If I can go in front of God one day and he says, well done, my good and faithful servant, I've done my job, you know, and that's what I want to finish the race and do that.
Yeah, that's so dope. I love that so much. And so obviously like a huge part of your walk is having somebody in your life that's further down the road than you. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about also too, how important community is with people who are maybe around the same, you know, age as you, walk of life as you. It seems like Maddie is a huge part of that for you. Incredible, you know, friend to you and accountability. And how important is it to you to have those, that good circle, those good friends in your life?
It's everything. Literally make or break in your life. It is absolutely the most game-changing thing. Like, obviously we carry the Holy Spirit if we are believers. We carry the Holy Spirit with us, but we still need people like physically around us, tangibly around us, that are gonna pick us up when we're low. And the Bible is so clear about community, how like iron sharpens iron, like two are better than one. And there's just so many things that God talks about, friendship. And I just feel like that was, when I look back at my story, that's what changed my life. When I was still really confused and walking in sin, and I was, you know, partying every single weekend, it's because I was with the wrong people that also were doing that same life, and they didn't see the problem with it. And so I think I was constantly playing this tug of war with God and the world, where I was like, oh, I really, like, I want to know God. I want to grow my relationship with God. I just don't know how. And when I finally decided, I was like, okay, God, I'm like done playing games. I got into a Bible study. I joined a church, and then I got a mentor. And like those three things literally changed my life because every single week I was sitting at this Bible study and it was with all these girls that were my age. And we were all learning from this one lady that was just reading the Bible to us. And then we would have like little subgroups where we would break off and then we would meet weekly. And once I did that, once I had people asking me, how are you doing? How are you really doing? Yeah. How's that sin going? How is this struggle? I mean, suddenly I was like, oh my gosh, I don't feel like as crazy anymore. And I felt seen that people were struggling with the same things that I was struggling with. And inevitably with your faith, you're going to have to shed some people. Like it is the tough part about this journey is that you can't go far with some of the people that you're going with now. And if you want to go far, don't go alone, but you got to choose the right people to go with you. Yeah. And so once I started slowly in this journey, as I prayed, I said, God, bring me community, bring me people. He did. And I'm really thankful for that. And so that is what I saw was absolutely staple in my journey was finding believers. And I know a lot of people are like, well, how do I find that? Where do I do that? Well, step one, pray for that. Pray for community. Step two, find a local church. Like that's what the local body of Christ is meant for, is connecting people, connecting believers to not suffer alone. And I think a lot of people are like, no, I'm introvert. I don't need anybody. You need people.
Yeah.
I know you can still be introverted, but like you can't stay there. You cannot stay in isolation because the enemy wins in isolation. That's how he gets the lone sheep. He devours the lone sheep that's susceptible and prone to get further into enslavement by being isolated. And so it really is absolutely make or break. It will change your life. And maybe you guys can all testify to that. Of moments where you were struggling, you were in sin, you were like, I just need somebody. Somebody in the body of Christ came and lifted up your chin and spoke into that. And you're like, oh my gosh, thank you, Lord, because that's part of my story. And it really is absolutely make or break.
Dang.
Wow. That's beautiful. Another thing that we're really passionate about, like especially right now in our youth ministry, is like taking all those things, right? And then practically applying it. So like, to a young person, like, could you give them an example of maybe what your time with Jesus looks like? And like, it's like, we're also big on like, one size doesn't fit all. Mm-hmm. But I feel like every guest we ask has like something different and approaches it differently. And someone can really grasp onto that. What does that look like for you? Especially with like such a busy life. I mean, you're planning for a wedding now. Like, how does your time with Jesus take precedent? And how do you even go about that?
Yeah, I mean, I'd be lying if I said that every morning I was in my Bible. I normally am, but especially within busy seasons or traveling, I don't want anyone to think like, oh, she's Miss Holy, whatever.
Yeah.
But it is a priority to me, and you make time for things that you prioritize. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people, they want to prioritize the gym or scrolling on social media. And for me, I make sure every single morning I wake up, I'm kind of the classic Christian girl. I get the candle, I get the coffee, I get worship music on. Yes. And I carve that out because I've seen if I don't do that, I'm not a pretty person. Caleb can testify to that. I'm not as nice. I'm a little moody. And so it's a priority to me to read a chapter at least a day. And the reason why I started doing these Bible challenges on Instagram is to help other people do that because I want people to see the fruit and the blessings that come by the Word of God. The Word of God is alive and active today. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people are like, that antiquated book, no, not for me. And I'm like, no, it will change your life. And so for me, whether it's a plane ride, I have 30 minutes on the plane ride. I read the chapter there. I'll read on my phone. But typically it's reading a chapter a day. I get instrumental music on, get my candle. I sit in the same corner on my couch every single day and I journal and I like to just journal to God, my thoughts, scripture that stood out to me and just prayers of like, God, I need help in this. And this is what I'm struggling about or struggling with. But I love to just read at least a minimum a chapter a day in the Bible. Right now I'm going through 1 Samuel, an incredible book. And that's like always my challenge to girls is like, hey, read with me. So we're all doing this together. Again, accountability. It helps knowing, okay, Janine's doing this. I can do this too.
Yeah. I love that so much. That's great. I think that's so cool that even throughout everything, obviously, that you're doing, like you always make it a priority. And sticking to a chapter a day, I feel like a lot of times people, even myself, can get caught up on like, the Bible is so hard to understand and like apply and whatever, but like there is such a beautiful thing in consistency. And if you stay consistent and ask the Holy Spirit, like speak to me, like He will speak to you.
Mm-hmm. And there's so many resources. Like I think a lot of people, you know, it's easy to make excuses like, ah, I don't get it. And I totally get it. It is confusing. Like, I still to this day read it and I'm like, what the heck does that mean?
Right.
But there's so many resources like Blue Letter Bible app, Enduring Word, verse by verse. Like, I think with technology, I think now we're just making excuses at this point. If we're feeling like we don't understand, like there's so many pastors and resources out there. And I think if you're hungry for it and you have the time, which I think make time for it, it literally changes your life when you start to understand. And I do think exactly what you said, like the Holy Spirit will show you. If you sit down and you say, okay, God, show me how to understand your word. Mm-hmm. And he starts revealing things to you. And there's so many people, like I literally just interviewed, Girls Gone Bible, as you guys said. And that was something they talked about. Like they didn't really grow up reading the Bible and they started reading it and they would be like sobbing reading their Bible because they're like, oh my gosh, this is so beautiful. It's like, it's a love letter to us. Right. And the Holy Spirit will, whether you don't understand the first chapter, you might understand the second, like keep reading, keep going. Like don't let one page or one chapter stop you from reading the rest.
Yes, that's beautiful.
That's huge.
All right, before we wrap, we've been asking this question. I've been loving the answers to everybody that we've been asking it to. All right, so go back in your head to high school Janine. 16-year-old Janine. What would you tell yourself now at 16? I know, it can be a tough one.
I mean, 16-year-old Janine was like the most insecure girl, and I would just tell her, like, if you just genuinely believe that you are who God says you are, you won't go to other places to find out who you are. Because a lack of identity was a big part of my story my whole life. And I think that manifested in a lot of really sad ways, unfortunately. So I think if I could just tell Janine, like, it's okay that everyone doesn't like you. It's okay that you don't fit in. It's okay that you look different than your peers. It's okay that you talk differently than them. I just tried to do anything to conform because I wanted to be liked. And I'm like, it's okay not to be liked. You'll see that as a common thread throughout your entire life, especially being a Christian. We will be persecuted. You won't be liked for this. People still to this day think I'm a weirdo for being a Christian. And I think I was almost embarrassed of that. Mm-hmm. But I think if you lean into that, man, your life will be so blessed. God's ways are so much better. They're so much better than what the world has to offer. And so believe and know who God says you are. And that starts again with opening the word of God. God, who do you say I am? And then you won't go to other places with your hands open. Tell me who I am. You say, no, I already know who I am. And I wish that that ended in college for me. It got even worse in college. But identity was always a common thread. So if you just say, God, who am I? Let God show you who you are, and then you won't roam to other places to tell you who you are.
Yeah, that's so good. This has been so fun. It was so dope. Thank you so much for coming on. Yeah, literally. We could keep going. Cut the cameras. Keep going. Is there anything else you want to plug before we wrap? Podcast, of course.
Well, the podcast is Happy and Healthy. I do monthly Bible challenges on my Instagram. If anybody wants to check those out, I love hosting those just to give people a plan. So they're not like, what do I read this month? I'm like, this is what we're reading.
Yeah.
So check those out on my Instagram. And I do have a book coming out in March.
Yeah.
So I'm so excited. My first book, it's called Becoming Happy and Healthy. It's going to hopefully help out any person that is struggling with any area of their life of like, how do I do all the questions you asked me? Like I go further in depth of friendship, changing your faith, identity, insecurities, finances, job, how to hear the voice of God. Wow. So many things like that. So that'll be coming out March 26th.
Dang, let's go.
I'm so excited.
That is so good. Well, thank you so much. We have Maddie tomorrow. Is there anything we should ask her?
Ooh.
Well, obviously, we're going to talk about the book.
Style change.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is he roasting Grant's style? I'm kidding.
Yeah, I'm kidding.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, they like debate like on their fashion all the time on like her Instagram and stuff. It's really funny. You can ask her, just tease her with that a little
bit.
Yeah,
that's perfect. Done. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys for having me. That was so fun. And I love what y'all are doing. It's amazing.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That's a wrap.
Bye.
That's a wrap, baby.